Welcome to News Over Brews, the only podcast that breaks down the best of this week's pop culture over a nice cold beer. Sponsored by PopBreak.com. I am your host and moderator, Al Manarino. Week's episode, we talk about Zoolander 2, the two brand new music festivals happening in New Jersey this summer, and HBO's new streaming service. Welcome back to News Over Brews. Wow, it has been a long time since I've said that. I feel like it's a couple weeks now. I think mostly because Ryan and Lucas couldn't get their shit together and we couldn't really get together for a new podcast, but I'm glad to be back. I already mentioned them, but might as well introduce them as well. My two hosts, Lucas Jones.
The year. Damn it. The year. What year is it?
And Ryan DeMarco.
Oh, what a nice slumber. Oh, God. It's been too long. Thanks, Al. I hate you.
Yeah, I think Ryan has been sleeping this entire time. I think he lost his job, got kicked out of school, and worst of all, hasn't been around to do a new episode of News Over Brews.
Hey, Al. Tell me, how big is the Xbox dick since you've been fucking on it the entire time we've been trying to do an episode this past month?
That's pretty good. I like that, you actually. Like that works really well.
No comment. But Sunset Overdrive is pretty awesome. Just throwing that out there.
No, you guys say it's 32 megabytes. That's what you guys say. I don't know. Something like that.
So I have one quick question for you, though. So the Xbox One cost you, what, $300?
I mean, it retails for $350, yeah.
So since you owe me $130, does that mean I own one-third of your Xbox?
One-third, half, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
You will slice it down the middle.
I'll tell you, that's why we haven't done a podcast. He's been dodging me for the fucking money he owes me.
Yeah, I know. He owes me 60 now, too.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He owes you 130, he owes me 60. Yeah.
How do I owe you 60?
I just paid for your Boston Beer Festival ticket.
Boston Beer Festival? That sounds pretty awesome. Why don't you guys talk about that for a second?
What?
So the Boston Beer Festival it's actually the Extreme Boston Beer Festival, or the Boston Extreme
it's
Beer
called
Festival?
The Extreme Festival,
The Extreme Fest in Boston. There's going to be 316 beers, and we're only going to be there for 3.5 hours. So we might have to adopt a divide-and-conquer strategy. But it's going to be in Boston. It's going to be extreme. It's going to be a beer festival. And we're
very
excited.
It's like 102 beers an hour.
What?
That's like 102 beers an hour.
Yeah. And then split that up in between four people, it knocks it down to only 25 beers an hour, I think.
Who says I'm only having 25 beers?
Yeah. Well, the good news is that we're driving up there, and that's the last time we're driving. So we'll be taking a couple of transit.
Because we're going to die.
And hitting some breweries along the way. So if you're not following us already on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, now would be the time. Follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook. Search for News Over Brews and stay updated with all of our coverage through the Boston Extreme Beer Festival.
This might be the last time you hear from us.
That's true.
And we're okay with that.
Yeah.
But
I think we're going to live tweet and live Instagram the festival.
Yes.
Even
as best
our own
as
deaths,
we can.
If
it's
live tweet
if
that.
Like throughout the day, if it just like you see less and less posts, that means we have stopped knowing who we are.
Tweet, Al's dead.
hashtag Al is probably
hashtag
dead.
We're not cleaning his body up.
But regardless, speaking of beer, I think this is the longest intro ever before a beer review, but might as well get into it. What are you two drinking right now?
We are drinking Brooklyn's Dry Irish Stout in celebration of St. Patrick's Day, which
is next week.
So, you know, everybody drinks Guinness all the time for this nonsense.
Well, it's not nonsense.
Well, it's not nonsense.
It's
a great holiday.
It's a national treasure.
Not only is it a holiday that commemorates something about Ireland, but it also is a holiday that commemorates the end of bulking season for Ryan and myself.
That's correct.
We bulk from Thanksgiving until St. Patrick's Day. We have one last hurrah, and then we cut.
We'll
still be drinking beer, but we won't be doing much else except eating chicken and broccoli. But yeah, so this is the Brooklyn Dry Irish Stout. It's 4.7% alcohol. And in short, I really like it. I'm a huge fan of dry Irish stouts. The one reason that I like Guinness, I really do. But like sometimes I just don't feel like a Guinness.
Mm-hmm. Which I agree with.
Yeah. Because sometimes Guinnesses can be a bit too bitter.
Overbearing.
Because if it's dry and bitter, sometimes you're not in the mood. But this is like dry and bitter and a little sweet. But there's also like a little sour funk to it.
Mm-hmm.
So like the Brooklyn Black Chocolate Stout has a lot of sour funk to it. This has a little bit of that sour funk, which I'm really digging. And it really makes for like a multi-dimensional experience. Like it's not just, okay, it's dry Irish stout. Like it's dry and it's bitter and that's it. Now this is like a little sweet, a little dry, but then like a little funky at the end. It's like a trip. Like you're traveling down a river. And you hit some rapids, and then you hit some calm, and then there's, like, a nice bird sanctuary.
I feel like I'm there right now.
Yeah. Ryan?
Well, I won't go as far as to say that I enjoyed it quite as much as you did. It was a fairly nice treat to ourselves. It's actually funny, because I've been the one campaigning for this for about the past month. I've been saying that I've been wanting to drink it for St. Paddy's Day, or, like, in honor of it. But I do think this would go well with corned beef. I think I will try that.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe this weekend we should have a corned beef evening together.
Okay. I think we should.
Because I know my family doesn't like corned beef. Your family does. My family does not.
My family loves it. You might have to come over for corned beef.
Does your mom boil it or roast it?
She roasts it.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Anyway, it's not a bad brew. I'll give you that. I did enjoy certain things. I did enjoy the initial sweetness of it once ingested. The dry espresso aftertaste, the lingering aftertaste, I did enjoy. The meat, in the middle, though, it kind of fell a little flat for me. But it's very sessionable. It's something I would, if offered, drink again. But not a personal favorite. I'll give it that.
I'm not getting espresso necessarily, but I am getting like a classic roasted malt. The espresso coffee flavor to me is a little different than the classic roasted malt, but it's close. I really like this. You know, like you have to think about what it is. It's a plain dry Irish stout, 4.7%, something that you're supposed to be drinking all day, and it's really really good. You know, if you try to match it up against like I had a Founders Imperial Stout on Nitro, it's not the same beer.
No, absolutely.
But this is
not.
If you can match this up against Guinness, against Murphy's, this beer takes the cake on almost every dry Irish stout that I've had. I actually can't think of a dry Irish stout that I prefer more than this one.
I feel like this month, for us even, has been like a whole Brooklyn Brewery kind of like celebrated month for us.
Yeah, that's true. We went to two Brooklyn beer tastings. We went to one at a bar in Point Pleasant, but we went to another one at Destination Dogs in New Brunswick. You didn't go to that one. Al and I went to that one.
That's right.
I had a kangaroo hot dog.
I ate half a dolphin.
It was delicious. So Brooklyn beer, we're all about Brooklyn beer right now. You hear that, Brooklyn? We're all about you guys. We love you.
We really are.
Send us some love back.
Please come hang out with us.
We're so Please alone. Give us beer.
We love you, Brooklyn. We'll call you Brooke. Anyway, so overall, I would give this probably a 6.5. A little flat, a little too flat for my liking, but I did like some points of it. I would, if offered again, drink it again. I'll agree with you, since I haven't had that many. This is probably the best dry Irish stout I've had. I haven't had many. I've had worse. But this, not bad. I'm continuing with the Brooklyn train. We've had some good ones in the past month. This certainly doesn't sink them, but, you know, there is better ones, and, you know, go Brooklyn. Go ahead.
So, all right. So, if we take Guinness as, like, the standard for dry Irish stout, if we make Guinness, like, a 5?
Yes.
As the News Over Brew scale, 5 is an average beer.
Yes.
I'm going to give this a 7.
This is better than Guinness, you think?
Way better than Guinness. Okay. Maybe even a 7.5 out of 10. If we're taking Guinness, the standard is the average.
Okay.
This is so much better than Guinness. It's got like another component to it with that sour sweetness going on.
Mm. I will respectfully disagree with you there, but
yeah, you're
keep
welcome
going.
To. Go that's the beautiful thing about this country, is that you're welcome to disagree even when you don't know what you're talking about. Which actually is the reason why we have been gone for so long. I paid for Ryan to go attend a beer tasting camp, and he flunked out in the first 3 days. He was so ashamed. He just got back to Manahawkin now.
It wasn't easy.
Yeah.
But I'm back.
But so I'd probably give it a 7.5. I think this is really good. It's, if you're looking for a dry Irish stout to drink for in honor of St. Patrick's Day, Brooklyn Dry Irish Stout, hands down. I'll be recommending it to people, and I hope you will too.
Well, thank you, Lucas, for that phenomenal beer review. I mean, it's been so long since I've heard a beer review. It's pretty depressing, honestly. I would say I wish I was drinking that beer that you guys have, but right now I'm drinking my favorite beer of all time. And if you're a fan of this show, you should know what this beer is by now. But if you don't, I'll have my esteemed colleagues tell you what it is.
Nugget Nectar.
Negative Nectar.
Oh my god, it's phenomenal. It's my last one, too. I'm pretty depressed, actually.
I mean, we still have some down here.
No, it's just my last one physically in this house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
Because well, you're at negative $128 in your checking account, right?
I am, actually.
Yeah. Can you pay for things with negative money?
I really can't. I asked, and they wouldn't let me.
Hmm.
Which is a little weird. But anyway, moving on to our first bit of news, and it's pretty cool. Today, the internet kind of blew up because at a fashion show in, I believe, Paris, but I'm going to double check, there was two models present that no one really knew was going to be there.
Male models. And
male models, to be precise. And one of them is so hot right now.
Oh, he's blowing up.
He's blowing up. It was Derek Zoolander and Hansel. And they were there to announce officially that Zoolander 2 will be coming out next year, February 12th, 2016. It was at the Paris Fashion Week, actually, to be precise. But this is really cool. This movie has been in development forever. We never thought it was going to happen again. This movie, the first one came out in 2001. So let's just think about that for a second.
How many years ago?
That's 14 years ago. So next year is going to be the 15th anniversary of the film, and they're finally releasing a sequel, which I think has, I think, all of the main cast coming back, including Mugatu. I don't know if he's the main villain. I feel like they announced that Jonah Hill was going to be the villain. So he's also hilarious, so I think it would work out. Plus, the first film was packed with like star-studded cameos, including David Bowie, for some reason. But I'm really excited to see anything Ben Stiller, anything of this caliber Ben Stiller, with, you know, the same returning faces like Owen Wilson and Will Ferrell. So, Lucas, since I think you've actually seen this movie.
I have.
Since you are alive and are human, what do you think about this?
I'm so excited. This is a movie that I will actually go see in theaters, probably on like the second or third week that it's out. But yeah, no, I'm stoked. I think this is going to be great. Zoolander is one of those movies that I can continuously watch over and over and it's still funny.
Still funny.
And then, we saw the promo pictures. They look the same. They look the same as
they did. They look exactly the same.
Well, Owen Wilson is the man who doesn't age. We know that already. So it's, oh my gosh, I'm really stoked. I'm sure it'll be just as funny as the last one. What was the other movie? Anchorman was the one that they took forever to release a sequel. And it was really funny because they didn't like oversaturate it like they did with like Hangover, where new movies were coming out every 3 months. But yeah, I'm really excited. I can't wait to see what kind of plot it has, what kind of stuff they cook up. The only guy who won't be in it, because, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't Maury Ballstein, didn't he die, that actor?
No!
I could have sworn that he died.
Ben Stiller's dad?
Yeah.
Jerry
Ryan, is Ben...
No, he's still alive.
He's still alive.
Who's the guy from Seinfeld that died?
Jerry's dead.
Kruger just died.
Yeah.
Kruger died. That's right.
Kruger! Rest in peace, Kruger, by the way.
Yeah, rest in peace. And this has been a long time that we've been on the podcast. Another pop culture icon. When I say another, I mean an actual one and not Kruger.
Kruger is an icon.
He was an icon within Seinfeld, but not like
you
pop culture.
You could sew a silk sheet if you had a wet dame. I lost my train of thought.
But anyway, I'll let Lucas take this one. Luke, if you want to say a couple kind words about a fallen pop culture figure.
Yeah, Leonard Nimoy died.
Oh, I thought it was Captain Kangaroo. I'm sorry.
And the weirdest thing was, like, I turned my phone on because I was on break, and, like, six people texted me, like, hey, man, I'm sorry to hear about it. Like, sorry to hear about what?
Like, he was your damn uncle.
Well, no, not that, but, like, I didn't know about it. Like, did I miss something? Did something happen to a family member of mine?
And apparently it did.
So I was like, can somebody please help me out here? Leonard Nimoy passed away. Apparently it was a kind of a long-term condition that he had that he finally succumbed to. And, it's kind of weird, you know? I mean, he's always been old, you know? I mean,
Has he always been old?
Well, he's always been old, pretty much.
Okay.
You know, long and storied career. He was a photographer, a musician, an actor. He was on Broadway.
It's a surprisingly well-rounded figure.
Oh, yeah. He, after Star Trek, he just pretty much did wherever he wanted. You know, he played in the two most recent Star Trek films. Unfortunately. I mean, it's weird, kind of. Because he plays a character, Spock, that lives to be like 165. I mean, not counting the new J.J. Abrams movies.
And he was only 83.
Yeah.
Lied to us.
So it'll definitely be weird to not, you know, have him, you know, oh, I wonder if Nimoy's going to be in it. Kind of a thing. That's
spoilers,
weird.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, so it's sad to see him pass and sad to lose a member of the sci-fi and really just creative person community because he did so much and so many things.
Honestly, what's William Shatner doing these days?
Probably going to be in Star Trek 3 now.
He didn't even go to his funeral, I read.
I have no idea.
He said he was busy with a charity event, but it's your friend.
Dude, it's famous people, man. Like, they got their own shit. They got their own, like, metric for which things they have to go to. It's just...
Listen, he already attended the funeral that matters, the one from Wrath of Khan.
Right. I mean...
So, well, did I get that right, by the way? Because I didn't even
you
see
did.
That.
And I was actually just going to mention that you did get that right. And I actually told my friends, I was like, listen, if you want to cry tonight, watch Wrath of Khan. Because in Wrath of Khan, spoiler alert, Spock dies in like the best written
30-year spoiler.
In the best written death scene of almost any movie I've ever watched. Like, because you didn't know it was coming, and you had three seasons and another movie to build up Spock and Kirk's friendship, and then they take Spock and they rip him away from you.
Take the rug out from under you.
And then even Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, Leonard Nimoy wasn't listed as a cast member. He was only listed as the director. So people were like, he's never coming back. And then he was back.
But the movie's called
J.J. Abrams
for
ruined it by taking the same
him?
Exact death sequence and flipping it around and making it lame as fuck. Since we're already an explicit podcast this episode, I might as well just go balls deep, right?
Yeah, might as well.
We will great. I mean, science fiction fans and other people who are not necessarily as diehard as I am will definitely miss Leonard Nimoy. That's it. That's all I have to say about that.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what you want me to
do. A touching couldn't tribute.
I mean,
Lucas.
It's give, real, man. That's what it
couldn't
is.
Couldn't even give him a live
We're
long and
miss
prosper.
Him. Because, you know, he was always at the conventions. He was always a really nice guy. You know, every story you heard about him was that he was always...
Seemed very genuine.
Saying hi to the fans and, like, signing autographs and pictures and just, you know... For a while, he wasn't into the whole Spock thing. He wrote that book, I'm Not Spock. And then several years later, he wrote a book, I Am Spock. You know, coming to terms with the fact that he was not typecasted, but that he had this role that kind of hung over his shoulders. You know, because we always... I mean, on the podcast, we always talk about, like, people being typecasted, like Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
You know, how many times has he made the movie Taken? And Leonard Nimoy didn't want to be that. And so for a while, he rebelled against the Spock figure until he finally accepted it and used it to his own advantage. You know, he tried to take, in his book, I Am Spock, he talked a lot about how he took a lot from the character and tried to take the best parts of Spock's life and make it part of his own, you know, by embracing just the aspects of Spock that you see on the show. The logic, the curiosity, the willingness to get into situations. And so, yeah, definitely a well-rounded person that will be greatly missed.
That was better. I like that better.
Thank you.
Good job. All right. Well, cheers to Leonard Nimoy. I guess raise your glass, but you guys are over Skype, so I don't even know if you raised it or not. There you go. Cheers. Now, moving on to the next topic, which is a bit of local news. Usually, when we say local news, we're usually talking about like a beer festival or something else that we're really excited about. This one is no different. I've expressed my love for music festivals in the past. I've represented Pop Break on a bunch of them last summer, and I'm hooked. Like, I'm addicted. They're my favorite things ever. So I thought it'd be great to talk about two music festivals that are happening in like right in our backyard in New Jersey. So there's one in Pinelands called the Pinelands Music Festival. And as I pull up the lineup, I know that the early November is headlining, which is I think like a punk pop band. They also have Jukebox the Ghost, Hello Goodbye, and a couple other bands. But I just thought that it'd be really nice to talk about that, as well as a huge music festival that's happening in Seaside, New Jersey, or Seaside Heights, New Jersey, for that matter. And this one is a touring festival that's going to be stopping at a lot of major cities. But it's great that they're stopping at Seaside, of all places. And the headlining act is Mumford & Sons, who are coming out with a new album, and they're taking a new direction with this album. They're banjo-less, which is kind of their bread and butter, so
no,
it's going to be cool.
Shit. Really?
Yeah, it's like they actually released their first single, and it's really good, and it's like, you know, electric guitars.
Did
and
they
everything.
Kill
really
the banjo player?
No, that's the main guy. And I think there's more than one banjo player, too. Anyway.
It's Mumford.
it's Mumford and his sons. No, but anyway. So it's Mumford & Sons, The Flaming Lips, Jenny Lewis, Dawes, Alabama Shakes, Jeff the Brotherhood, and many more other bands. It's going to be a two-day festival. It was May 9th and 10th. Or no, it was May 10th and 11th?
June 5th and 6th. You're close, though.
It was June 5th and 6th?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, how did I get that wrong?
Nice work informing the wrong information.
Yes.
Yeah, it's December in Antarctica.
See, this perfectly explains why we were on break for 3 weeks. We kept telling Al where and when to show for the podcast, and he kept showing up 3 weeks late.
Blame Al.
It's December, right? All right, yeah, so it's June 5th and 6th. Thank you. And that is very sad for me because it's also the same exact weekend as the Governor's Ball Music Festival, which I will probably be attending. So I'm very upset that
I
won't be
seeing. I have a
wedding
to go to that weekend also.
I think I have nothing happening that weekend.
That I won't be seeing them, Mumford & Sons, because they're really great live. But, you know, I just want to let Lucas know about this. So this is the people who are putting this festival on. It's called Gentlemen of the Road. And they're calling them the stopover festivals, and they're it's basically this. It's Mumford & Sons is headlining the whole tour of this festival, but other acts are appearing in other states. So I just wanted to let you know what's happening in Washington, of all places.
Washington State or Washington D.C. Because if it's Washington State, don't tell me.
It's Washington State, I think.
Things happen there. That's
what
weird.
Is it? Just go.
Well, Walla Walla, is that Washington?
Yeah, that's Washington.
Okay, so it's Mumford & Sons and Foo Fighters.
Yeah,
In
Washington. So I just wanted to talk about that as well. Also, another thing that we're really excited for is Hop Sauce Festival. That is also happening, and they announced their music lineup too, and they have Jukebox the Ghost as well. Another, if you haven't heard of Jukebox the Ghost, I suggest you listen to them. They're a really cool indie alternative band, and they're going to be headlining this year's Hop Sauce Festival. It's growing, this festival. Lucas and Ryan went last year. They had a blast. I think they were there for more of the beer and the hot sauce.
I tasted all the hot sauces.
I was getting to that. I said the beer and the hot sauce is more than the music, but I think this year the music is going to not only improve, but it's going to be, you know, it's going to draw a lot more people in. And I'm hoping to make it this year. I've been really wanting to. The guys there seem really awesome. And I heard the beer is fantastic, according to Ryan and Lucas. And this isn't really something to discuss in the sense that, you know, what do you think about this, guys? It's more of like, this is really cool and we got to tell our listeners about this stuff. I mean, Lucas can go on like a 30-minute rant about how he doesn't like Mumford & Sons, but that's not going to get us anywhere.
I really don't like Mumford & Sons.
I'm not a fan of them either.
Wow, you guys are both terrible.
And I've actually never heard of any of the other bands on that bill, so.
I've heard of Alabama Shakes and Flaming Lips.
Yeah. How have you not heard of the Flaming Lips, Lucas?
I listen to punk rock and heavy metal.
He sleeps under a rock. I'm looking right at it.
Punk rock.
Unbelievable.
Boom.
Let's move on now before I hit him.
All right. Well, I just wanted to let our listeners know about those awesome events happening soon in New Jersey. So if you live in the New Jersey area, I would definitely suggest checking out the Gentlemen of the Road Stopover Festival in Seaside Heights featuring Mumford & Sons. Pinelands Music Festival. I should have looked up the date, but I don't have it. They haven't announced their full lineup yet, so we'll probably talk about that when they do. I think they're announcing it next week, so we will talk about that more next week. And Hop Sauce Festival with Jukebox the Ghost and a lot of beer. So definitely look out for those events this summer. I would buy your tickets right now. And let's move on to the next and final topic, which is pretty significant for fans of television, fans of streaming services, and fans of hardcore nudity.
So everyone in the world.
Everyone in the world. No, yesterday, Apple had their big keynote address of the winter, spring, talking about mostly their Apple Watch, which we already knew about, but they were giving all the details about it. It's really expensive. It's kind of cool and pretty much not needed in any way, shape, or form.
Like, so it's an Apple product.
So it's an Apple product. Hi-oh. It's an electronic device that we don't need, but it's really cool. But another thing that kind of went not really under the radar, it's actually really huge news. They've lowered the price of their streaming device, the Apple TV, to $70. And they partnered with HBO to usher in a new HBO streaming service called HBO Now. Now, for those who have heard of HBO Go, for HBO subscribers, HBO Go allows you to watch HBO through your phone, through your Apple TV or Xbox or PlayStation. But HBO Now, you can actually have the service of HBO without having the service somewhere else. So you don't have to be a cable subscriber of HBO to now watch Game of Thrones or Girls or any of HBO's movies or anything. HBO has now is trying to eliminate the need for cable providers and go directly to the consumer. So this is pretty big for television. This is as big as it gets because HBO is one of the biggest suppliers of quality programming television-wise. So I wanted to shoot it out to you guys. We'll start with the person who doesn't watch television but actually does watch television. Lucas, what do you think about this move for an HBO Go, and should cable companies be worried?
Absolutely. Cable companies, I think, have been seeing their own death for several years now. They tried to shut down Netflix by charging them priority, and they couldn't. They have been trying to corner the market by splitting up their monopolies, and they can't do that either. And now that HBO has disconnected itself, it's only a matter of time before other major services like ESPN and do the same thing. And really, the only reason that a lot of people I know still have television is for sports. And if you can find some way to disconnect sports from the television, what do we need the cable companies for anyway?
Nothing.
Nothing, really.
Fox 5 News. That's what we need it for.
Yeah, right. Any all the TV shows are available on Hulu or Netflix. And, you know, it's just... Like, all right, so the last show, for example, the last show that I've watched from the start all the way to its current episode is House of Cards. Because I can watch whenever I want. If I'm up at 3 a.m., I'm watching it. I watch it in a weekend. You know, I haven't... I'm not caught up on Doctor Who. I'm not caught up on Archer. I'm not caught up on Walking Dead. Because all the shows are at times that I'm just not around. But I'm caught up on House of Cards because it's on Netflix. So yeah, I think this is yet another nail in the coffin for cable companies. It's a great move for HBO Go. Good move for Apple. So is this exclusive to Apple TV, or will I be able to get it like on my Xbox?
I think it's starting with Apple and then working its way to probably the other devices.
Okay.
I guess it's going to just start with Apple. I can definitely look into that for you, and I probably should right now, but I'm not going to.
Well, yeah, look into it, because I have one more thing to say. So,
go.
And it's pretty consistent with Apple's strategy, which is to try to corner exclusivity. That's what Apple does. Like, they go for the exclusive. Like, you can only get it on iOS. You can only get it on Apple. You know, Apple's whole claim to fame is, it's Apple. Or you can't get it if it's not an Apple. You know? Mm-hmm. Because there are better phones than the iPhones, hardware-wise. There's better software than iOS, for performance and for, you know, just less clutter and more and smoother.
And I got more details.
Certainly better run companies than Apple. But how does Apple survive? Because of exclusivity and the name brand. So partnering with HBO Go is a smart move on their part. From a brand perspective and from that exclusivity. Like, not only can Apple nerds be high, mighty, and self-righteous about the fact that they own Apple products, but now they can also be high, mighty, and self-righteous about being the only ones with access to HBO Now.
Well, check out this timing. So, the HBO Now service is going to be $14.99 a month, and Apple has it for the first 3 months, starting, you ready for this? In April, just before a certain show comes out, and they're going to have it exclusively right until the end of that season of that show.
What show is it?
It's Game of Thrones. Oh. So they're going to have it just before the premiere of Game of Thrones, April 12th, and they're going to have it for the first 3 months exclusively, and then it's going to go to other streaming devices, so Xbox and PlayStation, Roku, all of these other devices. So, I mean, you got to give it to them. Apple's really smart. I mean, that is genius.
See, I don't know if that's a big deal though, because if you're watching Game of Thrones, you're already watching it on your cable.
Yeah, but if you're only watching Game of Thrones, if you only get HBO for Game of Thrones, like right now, I'm not watching HBO. Later this year, I'm probably not going to be watching HBO. But all I care about is those couple months when Game of Thrones is on. So, I don't have HBO. My parents do. I watch it when I'm home. But now, I can pay $15 a month for 3 months and watch my show. And then, when I'm done, I'm done.
That's a good point.
I mean, that's great for people who only watch HBO for 3 months out of the year to watch Game of Thrones. That's big. That's going to be a killer for cable. I don't think it's going to be the final... you know, stab in the heart, but it's going to be a pretty big wound, I think, personally. But as someone who doesn't watch Game of Thrones, Lucas, you already spoke, but Ryan, you're not a big fan of Game of Thrones or have watched it, nor do you really watch any HBO programming that I know of off the top of my head.
besides Cat but House, obviously.
Besides, I don't even think that show's on anymore. But I wouldn't know that. What do you think about all this?
I think it's brilliant. I mean, just, you know, it's just just a non-committal thing, really. You can just you come and go as you please. You can just get it whenever you want. If you want to catch up on something, you just, you know, $14.99. You know, it's not cheap, but you know, it's a lot cheaper than the alternative. So you know, really, there's really nothing that could go wrong for HBO and Apple. Obviously, this is a wonderful idea. It's a deal. All but good things, you know. Nothing bad. I can't say anything bad about it. I mean, obviously HBO doesn't hold my favorite shows, but there's thousands, millions of other people that would kill for something like this. Oh, just got to pay for a month, and you know, I can catch up on everything, or you know, a couple months. I think it's a brilliant idea, and like you said, it's definitely the final nail in the coffin. Not the final nail, but it's one of the final nails for cable TV and cable providers and all that evil that we've been having to put up with for years.
Well, if there's anybody that knows how to avoid commitment, it's Ryan DeMarco. You know, HBO now has been on his radar for some time as a way to get out of paying for things long term, if you know what I mean.
Does that mean I'm a cheapskate?
Yes. And you also hate commitment.
Yes.
Yes.
Or being on time or anything.
All things that don't matter in life.
But we tried to get him to commit to like one day to do a podcast, and
just one day.
Like, I can't do it today. Maybe
I
tomorrow.
Thought it was Al's fault. Why is it my fault now? Maybe no, it's your fault. You're too busy playing in a damn band.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm busy in a mildly successful punk band.
What are you trying to have a life or something?
It's Lucas's fault.
SoundCloud.com/BirdHotel4.
Did I say you can plug the band in this podcast?
Make sure when you put in Bird Hotel 4, you put in Bird Hotel 3 so you can't find them. How about that?
Don't you plug that band in this podcast.
I think it's weirder that there are three other Bird Hotels.
That really is?
Yeah.
I think that means bad. You need another name.
It's too late. We can't change the name.
Hotel of Birds.
Pig Rectum.
We're not changing it to Pig Rectum.
Gorilla Vomit.
No.
Cable TV.
That is pretty punk, though. You got to think about that.
Gorilla Vomit? No, that's not punk.
That's punk.
You don't
as hell.
Listen to punk. You don't know what punk is, bro.
I listen to punk.
Listen, bro. You don't know what punk is, all right?
Well, we'd like to tell you that we were going to be filming. We're going to be doing our next episode next week, but Lucas will be too busy. I'll be playing Xbox. I'll be nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. So probably not.
Actually, our next episode, whenever it is, hopefully next week, we're going to be reviewing this Extreme Beer Festival that we're going to in Boston. We will probably give you some more updates on when you can watch the next episode of Behind the Brews. And if you haven't already done so, I highly recommend you check out News Over Brews on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as popbreak.com, spelt out, the website, POP-BREAK.com, and the YouTube channel, which is spelled out popbreak.com. Definitely check that out, because that's where you're going to find all of our videos. That's our Loot Crate Unbox videos. That's our Behind the Brews videos, as well as any other thing that we video and throw on the internet. Lucas is our Instagram coordinator.
For some reason.
Which is a fancy way to say that he likes to drink beer and takes pictures of it.
Yes.
And I am usually on our Twitter, and I will be live-tweeting the Extreme Beer Festival. So make sure you follow us at News Over Brews. We'll probably have some sort of hashtag that we'll be posting from, I guess, Extreme Beer Fest or
I'm
Extreme.
I
don't know.
I'm pretty sure, by the sounds of it, we're going to get pretty messed up fairly early. And
yeah.
Our tweets will just be the three of us, one finger each, just typing out something, and then
I'm actually a great drunk tweeter. So
right.
if you see my vocabulary increase, it is because I'm drinking.
Usually when I drink, everything goes downhill. My appearance, my language.
You will know when I have begun to tweet, because it will come out as a series of indecipherable code speak.
I'll just be cursing.
Yes. But that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode of News Over Brews. If you haven't already heard, make sure you're following us on all these social media channels, because we're going to be having a blast next week if the weather holds up. Is it inside or outside?
Outside.
Pretty sure it's outside.
Good. That's going to be cold. Why are we doing this?
Wear a t-shirt. It'll keep you sober.
Yeah, there you go.
Perfect. All right. I'm Al Manarino. And I blame Lucas for not having an episode in a while.
I'm Lucas Jones, and I blame Al Manarino for not having an episode.
And I'm Raul. I'd like to change my answer.
I'd like to blame Ryan DeMarco because he's apparently so drunk all the time he can't even remember his name.
And I'm Ryan DeMarco. And I blame Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
And Canada. Because nothing good comes out of Canada.
Maple syrup.
I ate my waffles dry.
And then he ruins it.
Then I ruined it. Good night.
All right.
Yeah, I can cut that out.
Keep it in. Can you just cut out the part? Yes. Just keep in the I eat my waffles dry.
I'm going to cut out the
Hey, Meg, what's up?